Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. This is Friday, February 3rd, and the episode is brought to you by my great sponsor, El Cajon Harley. I'm down here in San Diego right now. I'm going to stop by El Cajon Harley today. Go in and see him. Ask for my boy, Greg Riley. He'll do you right, man. They got all kinds of great, great bikes on the floor, man. They got the new Milwaukee 8 Baggers. They've got the Dyna S. They've got the Breakout. They've got some Screaming Eagles on the floor, some CVO bikes. And stop in there Super Bowl Sunday. Go, hey, give me some Super Bowl love. Get yourself a touchdown. A touchdown motorcycle. Yeah! Go see him, Greg Riley and the boys at El Cajon Harley. Also, tonight, if you are in San Diego, El Cajon Harley and myself are doing a special show at the La Jolla Comedy Store, 9:30 tonight, Friday night. It's biker night, so we'll see you at the El Cajon biker night at the La Jolla Comedy Store. All right, I'm here with my guest. Introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Sully McCullough, a.k.a. Crazy Legs from Don't Be a Menace. Yeah, I got a dream.
Back again.
That's right. I'm back. We did it before, but now we're doing it from La Jolla.
Yeah, we're live in La Jolla, and it's like a bitchin' episode. Spicer's not here, so I got you. And,
right.
It's your first time doing La Jolla.
It is my first time doing the La Jolla Comedy Store. I've heard nothing but good things. This is like really... You know what's funny? Like, this feels like one of those places that, you know, white people don't want black people to know about. And I'm not trying to make it a racial thing.
Yeah.
But white people have a way of finding all the good shit.
Yeah.
You know, there's beaches.
Yep.
There's places to eat.
We're on the
and
beach.
Walk.
Yeah.
And just be, you know, comfortable with yourself.
Yep.
You can get a bike and bike and stuff.
Yeah, we got two bikes here.
I saw a hot girl running.
Yep.
Clearly getting her exercise. And she started talking to a dude with a skateboard.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I got to get a skateboard.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because she clearly dropped the running.
Yeah.
And was like, all right, I'm going to let this skateboard dude mack me.
She was like, is that Spicoli from Fast Times?
And he had a kind of Spicoli vibe about him.
Yeah, everybody down here.
Yeah, everyone does. Like, that's the move.
Yeah, man, it's funny. You've been doing comedy. How long you been doing it? 20 years or something?
Yeah, I'm in the 20 plus year club.
Yeah, so
and I've never done La Jolla.
It's
like
unbelievable.
I actually feel like I'm gifted something. You know what I mean?
It was
like
you owe me.
Yeah,
owe me.
Exactly.
Well, it's cool because it's my birthday today, and
happy birthday, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And last year, I had this massive party. I turned 50.
Right, that's a big one.
Yeah, so I had the Del Rey at the El Rey, and Burr, and I, and Rogue, and we played AC/DC, and we did all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And I was thinking, man, I kind of want to do that again. And then a little bit of me in the back of my head was like, man, I'm just turning 51. It's not a big deal. Like, it felt forced. Like, yeah,
right.
I should do that again. And it's like, it's never going to live up to that legendary night, man.
Yeah, sometimes you got to let those big things just be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the 50 is a milestone.
It really is.
You know what I mean? So you do have to blow it out by nature.
Well, especially if you're young like me and you burned it up so hard and that rock and roll thing, you know, hope
right.
I die before
right.
I get old.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, it really is that ride it till the wheels fall off. And then all of a sudden there's somewhere along the line where you go, oh, I kind of want to live.
Yeah.
You start to enjoy life on the back end and you go like, oh, yeah. You know.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, turning 50, did you stress out at all? Did you get anxiety? Did you start to, like, soul search?
I got diabetes.
Well, perfect. What a great gift.
Yeah. What a
It's the gift
birthday.
That keeps on giving, really.
Yeah, right? It was so funny, man. I was thinking, like, I'll know exactly when I got diabetes because I was 50, you know?
Right,
what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, what I start to think about, and I was talking to somebody about it yesterday, a friend of mine, you start to realize, and I, And I like to speak in real terms because you and I, the last time we were on, Gary Shandling had just passed.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking on the way here. As far as we are in 2017, I truly believe that people live way less now. Like you, I thought it would be by now we would live to be 130 if we choose to.
Sure.
Like
sure.
Okay, you go here and you start eating this pill and you can live as long as you want.
Right.
I mean, not like science fiction. I'm not dumb or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but what you're saying is technology is advanced in right. ways to preserve ourselves.
Yeah, and it's just proof that, you know, I mean, like I always say, my grandmother lived to be 100. She smoked and drank every day. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
And everybody seemed to live to be 80s and 90s.
Right.
And now as I sit here, I go, well, you know, I'm 51. I really hope I make it to like 60. Let's just say, and people always say the same thing. Oh man, you'll make that.
Yeah, yeah, they take it for granted.
Nobody has no idea.
Yeah,
man.
You don't. Yeah, you don't know.
Bombs.
You don't know, man.
Brain aneurysm, yeah. Heart attack, some cancer, and it all comes down to the last. I really feel like the last 20 years when the food really changed. I remember when I went into McDonald's one day and I go, I'm never eating here again. This does not taste like the fucking quarter pounder
right,
when I was growing
right,
up. There's
right,
no meat in this.
Right.
As soon as I saw pink swill, I go, oh, well, we're all dying.
Yeah, right, 60s. Right.
And it's... You could get into the conspiracy stuff of like it's government.
Yeah.
They're just weeding out populations.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Get into some chemtrails and all
sure.
that. But the bottom line is nobody's really living a long time anymore.
Right, right.
You know, like do you think about it? Like,
well,
I
mean, absolutely. Say? Like, yeah, I mean, I'm 49, so my 50 is coming next year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, I'm still processing losing Gary.
Yeah.
You know, I was with him 2 days before he died.
Yeah.
We were writing together and you know, he said to me, "Hey, let's go for a hike." And you know, the one thing that I will say is I was always present with Gary and I knew that our time together was special.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he was such a grounded, gifted, like people throw around the word genius like pretty loosely these
yep.
days, but he was a genius in ways that it's really rare when people come into your life and affect you in multiple ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they make you like a better person, and the conversations that you have stick with you long after, you know,
totally.
They've happened. Like he was that kind of guy. Like he really was, you know, one of the most grounded, spiritual, inspiring, you know, hilarious, you know, I almost don't have the words to
yeah.
describe the levels of our friendship.
Yeah, I was saying that too about like guys, when you meet certain people, you go, well, they have it.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like Bill Paxton was on last week and he really has something about him, this aura. And you,
right,
he
right.
He draws you in and you're
right.
like, this guy's like a time traveler,
right,
man.
He's, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like they're, you know, there's just so many things that I process and take from that friendship. And, you know, like our last time seeing each other, you know, we were writing, you know, we were working on stand-up. And, you know, after we finished writing for the day, he said, hey, let's go for a hike. And, you know, I knew if somebody offers you something, like somebody told me a long time ago, they go, if somebody ever really listen to what people are saying, because
yeah.
they're saying things to you for a reason.
They're reaching out.
Yeah, they're reaching out
yep.
for a reason. They're trying to connect for a reason. There's a purpose behind it. And so he, you know, he said, hey, let's go for a hike. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. So we jumped in my car and we drove up the hill. He lived in Brentwood. And we started hiking and we started talking about some things that he was dealing with. And he had just given me this book called The Way of the Superior Man. And, you know, I instantly was jumping into it and reading it when he gave it to me. And so it gave us a chance to talk about
right.
the book. And I was like, man, I really appreciate you recommending that to me. I'm getting so much out of it. And we really had this, very connected conversation about, you know, shit that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when he passed away 2 days later, we were supposed to write 2 days later, and I felt like, while it was hard to process, I felt like our friendship had an honest resolution.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely, and man. And that hike.
Yeah, that hike that we took was our chance to say goodbye. You know what I mean? And to put it in a place where we could process it. And you know, it's like some of the things that he said, they've stuck with me, and they motivate every decision that I make moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you know, without getting too introspective about it, you know, he was a transcendent person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in so many different ways. Like, he would always, you know, I think about him when I go on stage all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Working at the Comedy Store, I feel like it's an extension of the things that we talked about. Like, you know, we had really deep conversations about what it was like when he was in the clubs, when he was at the Comedy Store, and Robin Williams was there, and Richard Pryor was there, you know, and all the guys that are the legends of the game.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, when Letterman was there, when Seinfeld was there, and, you know, him trying to fit in and feeling the challenges of, you know, making your way and making, you know what I mean? Like, those kind of things that, you know, when I go on stage, when I step into a club, I think about these conversations that we had.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Are you bringing your real life on stage with you? Are you taking risks? Are you pushing yourself? Are you doing your work? You know, he was a mentor, man. He was like a real spiritually grounded mentor. And it wasn't, you know, I've wrote for a lot of different comics that are phenomenal comics.
Yeah.
Gary was really on another level, man. He was really on another level.
Were you writing bits for him?
Yeah, well, you know, we were, you know, I was really fortunate, you know, before he passed away, he called me and he had asked me to help him get ready for Comedians in Cars Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember that. Yeah.
And I was really honored, man. I was like, whoa, this dude wants me to help him get ready to do this.
That's
So, you know, I watched a lot of episodes of the show, and I watched a lot
found
of comics that I like, and I saw what the rhythm was, and I broke it down, and we set out, you know, just sort of writing these jokes together.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And yeah, it was great, man. And you know, to think that, you know, aside from the documentary that I did that he's in, you know, that was the last real thing that people saw.
Yeah, that was right then, man.
Yeah, it was right then. And we talked about, you know, in Comedians in Cars, he talks about death a lot.
I know.
And, you
That's
know what I mean?
Was really
like
crazy. Yeah.
You know, like I will say this about Gary, he was very, very in tune with where he was in life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And what his journey was about.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like we'd often talk about like staying on path, and, you know, because he was further along in his journey, he really imparted a lot of wisdom on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I feel that, man.
You know, he would say things like, you know, people will come into your life to help you stay on your path, and people will come in your life to try and take you off your path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you have to stay committed to knowing what your path is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
that's what stand-up is. Like, a lot of people don't realize that. Like, I feel that you know, it is a calling. You
Absolutely,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, you can't fake this at all.
No, man.
You know what I mean?
Like, even when I got up, like, I talk about it a lot. Like, you know, I played music all my life, and then I stop, and I'm selling motorcycles in a corner of Van Nuys, California, and then next thing you know, I get pushed back onto the path by doing a movie, then meeting comedians and starting comedy.
Right.
It's almost like whatever had to line up for me to get in a movie, like
right.
back in, right. like on stage, you right. know what I mean? To me, that's more than a coincidence.
Sure.
That's like, hey, you're supposed to be back on stage.
Right.
And I really feel that.
Right.
Because if not, you would have to look at everything that went down to line up. That's almost impossible. Like
sure.
I stop music
sure.
and then I decide, oh, I'm going to work at this Harley dealer in the middle of nowhere. And then next thing you know, I'm doing movies because I was working there. You know what I
right,
mean? It's just
right.
insane. And then I meet, you know, Earthquake.
Right.
All those things.
Right.
Have
well,
to-
I thoroughly believe there are no accidents.
Me either.
You know what I mean?
I
like
that
I've
too.
Always felt that way.
Yeah.
You know, I have this documentary coming out. On February 24th called
yeah.
Dying Laughing, and it's, you know, a high art movie about stand-up.
Yeah,
and
let's talk about that. How now, what was the idea of it?
Well, I'll tell you the process,
yeah.
and, you know, like I said, you know, there are no accidents. Like,
yep.
I was with this agency, and the agency ended up dropping me.
Yeah.
And it hit me hard, dude.
After all these years.
Yeah, after all these years of doing stand-up.
You do movies.
You know, I've done movies.
Yeah.
I was on the Jamie Foxx show. You know, I was a working writer, producer.
Worked on the
you know,
Tonight Show.
I wrote on the Tonight Show.
I
wrote on Lopez Tonight. I wrote on the ESPY Awards for 6 years. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, but I do a lot of writing and producing for a lot of people. I produced Cedric the Entertainer special.
Right.
You know, I wrote for Jamie Foxx on Saturday Night Live. You know, like, you know, I really was able to do a lot of different things. You know, I'm fortunate in that way. You
right.
know what I mean? But I went through a down period. And, you know, I ended up getting dropped by my agents. And they were very callous about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they weren't pulling no punches.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, this business is, you know, a
it's
lot of
people... It's almost like Marin. The guy calls him and goes, no one wants to book you anymore. Back in the, you know, like...
Yeah, what? I mean, I'll tell you this, dude. What they said to me, they said, yeah, it's a really tough business. And, yeah, it's just not working out.
Wow.
And it was like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I was bringing them, you know, projects that were original ideas that, you know, I recruited talent for and went out and collaborated and shot and, you know, like, hey, let's try and shop this. I feel it's good.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was sort of sitting around and
right.
just waiting
You're
for.
You're not that guy going like, hey,
no,
where's
you,
my
you know,
work
that's
at?
You can't do that in this business.
No, not
you
at
know
all.
What I mean? Like, you know, to be a comic is to hustle.
Absolutely.
You have to hustle for
yeah.
yours.
Totally.
You know what I mean? If you think it's just going to come to you, it's not.
Yeah. And the people that it just comes does come to, they burn out real
quick. It goes away. It goes
yeah,
away.
Big time. And then you see them working at, like, you know, Blockbuster or whatever.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I can't like, tell you in the 20 plus years I've been doing this how many people that were the hot, you know, thing that aren't doing it anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no guarantees about this. And so when I got that information, it hit me really hard, you know, because I was still grinding in the clubs. I, you know, was still, you know, doing things. But in the eyes of that side of the business.
Yeah. Not bringing in income.
I'm not bringing in income.
The kind that they're
yeah,
looking
that
for.
They're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and, you know, I'll say this about agents. Agents really are... They want it easy. You know what I mean? They're going to see what sticks to the wall.
I see it every day.
And they want it easy. You know what I mean?
I see it every day because it's like, here I am, you know, working my ass off. I did movies, you know, TV. I'm touring and everything. And then they'll just grab a guy who's been doing it like 2 years that looks good.
Right.
And because they're hoping to just get him on TV.
Well, you know what it is?
Checks.
It's like a young talent. It's almost like the NBA when they were drafting dudes out of high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Versus these college seniors that had put 4 years in and were polished and probably a more developed player.
Yep.
But they were going with the potential of what this other player could be.
Yeah, they just
that's the business.
They're looking for the quick money.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, oh, he's got a great look, or she's got a great look.
We'll get him right on CBS.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can get the new Beamer. It's so funny because I went to a movie premiere recently, and there was some agents in the parking garage, and you know, I was looking at their watches and their cars and their shoes, you know, and I was like, they want to keep that lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's more about those developing those pre-existing relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. LA is a front-running town.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
They want championships yesterday.
Yeah.
And they want winners yesterday.
Yep.
But winners sometimes have to go through a process of evolution.
There's no
where you
got
to lose
talent
to win. No, they want completely contained finished products.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And if you're not that, they don't have time for anything else.
Go out, do all the work, and then as soon as you hit, we'll sign you.
Right. So after I got dropped, you know, it hit me really hard. I got a phone call the next day from a friend of mine, and they said, oh, my friends are making this movie about stand-up. You should be in it. And in fact, you guys should work together.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to the call, and my initial thought was, I'm not big enough to be in this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I was thinking like the agents.
Yep.
Where I was selling myself short.
Right.
But you know, I also was in a place where I was like, oh, I have to prove that I have value in this business. So I took the phone call and I, you know, talked to this director, Paul Toogood, and he had done a movie called From Nothing to Something, The Art of Rap. And I really liked that movie because his approach to what the rap game was, like he humanized the rappers. He didn't one-dimensionalize them at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he really presented them as artists.
That's cool.
And what I liked about that, I was like, oh, this dude gets it. And so we talked, and he said, you know, I want to make this movie about stand-ups. And
Was he a stand-up fan?
No, he's a fan of stand-up, yeah, but he's not a stand-up. He comes from the music business and was a manager in the music business. So he worked with some really big acts like Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
And, you know what I mean? So he was very connected in that side.
He worked with Zeppelin?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Paul Toogood.
Wow.
And so it was cool, like, you know, off this first conversation, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this journey.
And what was the original idea of the documentary?
Well, the original idea of the documentary, and I'm glad you asked that, was we originally were going to focus on bombing stories.
Comics'
worst nights on
stage.
Right. That was going to be the entire documentary. And so when we sat the talent in the chair, we instantly, like, I did the first interview in the documentary.
Right.
And after that first interview, we and this is to the credit of everyone involved, we realized, oh, there's a bigger story here.
Yeah.
To just do a movie about bombing is short-selling what being a stand-up is.
Yeah. Because you need to know about killing.
Right.
To know
but
about
not
bombing.
Just that, you know, what it takes to be a stand-up. You deal with loneliness, you deal with isolation, you deal with going on the road. Like, you know, a lot of times when you're on the road, you know, the
it's not this. Beach.
It's not
we're
La Jolla.
On the beach right
yeah,
now.
We're on the beach right now.
We're together.
We've got it's like, you know, you're working with somebody that's like-minded. It's normally not like this.
No.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and everyone that was in our documentary is talking about what it takes to do this. And so that was interesting.
That's amazing. And let's talk about who's on it.
Well, I mean, you know, we really have an embarrassment of riches. Like it is the best of the best. Jerry Seinfeld's in the documentary. Chris Rock is in the documentary. Sarah Silverman's in the documentary. Amy Schumer's in the documentary. Gary Shandling's in the documentary. Jamie Foxx, Steve Coogan, the list goes on. We interviewed 109 stand-ups here and overseas, and 30 made the final film.
Did you find they all had similar stories of the process?
Absolutely. Well, the coolest thing about making this documentary, and it's... Did I say Jerry Lewis?
Oh, no.
Jerry Lewis is in the documentary, which is, you know...
Wow,
which is, yeah, I mean, it's
he started stand-up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, when I was a kid and I watched Nutty Professor, never in my life did I think I would produce something that Jerry Lewis was in. So, I mean, like... You know, it's really interesting when you go and you make something from the heart and it's very close to your passion, where that leads you. You know what I mean? And who comes into the fold. It was transcendent.
So the story, what did you see the common thread was?
Well, I mean, I depression. Think the common thread, you know, I mean, it varies. Like, we explore depression, but not everybody's depressed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Chris Rock makes some really great points about, you know, depression. And I don't want to give it away because I do want people to see the movie. But we explore it, and some comics have different takes. Like, I think it is a factor. You know, you definitely go through ups and downs. You have to process what... being the center of attention and having, you know, the focus on you at shows, and then you walk off stage and you have to deal with yourself. Yeah. You know, a lot of people aren't good about processing that.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of demons that you have to deal with when you choose this lifestyle. You know what I mean? There's heavy costs that you have to pay. We do explore that in the film. What I like about it is it's a highbrow comedy movie. You know what I mean? It's a comedy movie about our craft.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's serious in tone, but it's also really funny and very honest.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that was really cool about this is if we tried to make it through like a Comedy Central or a HBO, there would be certain expectations. You know, we had independent investors, which gave us the freedom to make this from the most real place.
That's awesome.
We never had more than, I'd say, 8 people on set.
Wow.
And the director interviewed the talent. And so there was a real simplicity to having a real conversation. Like, much like you and I are having now, you know, we just happen to be doing this with this documentary on camera and making it for the theater.
How long were the interviews? Were they a day, 2 days?
The interviews would last about an hour on average.
Gotcha.
And some went up to 2 hours.
Wow.
And we really explored. You know, the film is about the process.
Yeah.
And everyone in it is talking about it, what stand-up is, it.
How they write and stuff like that.
I mean, we got into that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, technique can be boring a little bit.
You know
what I mean? You know, if you are a true comedy nerd, like most comics are, technique is fascinating.
Yeah.
But to the average person, they just want to laugh.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I think we found a really good balance where it's entertaining but also informative. We've only screened it one time. We premiered it at the LA Film Festival, and that was our first time screening it in front of a large audience.
And people loved it?
The response was overwhelmingly positive, dude.
Really?
Like, it really, you know, it was interesting. Like, you know, I'd seen the film twice before that. I saw it in an edit bay, and then we also screened it for Gary Shandling, which was kind of the stamp of approval. We screened it for him in his house, and you know, he dug it. He really liked it, and that meant the world to us that made it, because it was like, you know, we were getting the gold seal.
You know what I mean?
And so at the LA Film Festival, that was the first time it played on a big screen in front of an audience. And yeah, people dug it, man. They really liked it. And what they liked about it was, it, aside from telling the truth about stand-up, is it speaks to the truth about believing in your dreams and what it takes to commit to your craft.
Yeah.
Which is dope, and it's universal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, for whatever your job is.
Yeah,
in life,
exactly.
You know?
I mean, if you're a musician, I think you'll get something out of this. If you are a artist of any sort, if you're just somebody that wants to do good work, I think you'll get something out of this.
Yeah, Yeah, that's interesting. Now, what's it coming out on?
It's coming out in select theaters. We're doing a limited release in theaters, and I would recommend That's the Way You See It.
That's
because
how I want to see it.
We
Sunset
made it
Vibe,
for one of those kind of play, like,
right.
We made it for the big screen, and when you see these comics, you know, 30 feet in the air, it's, you know, these are the world's greatest talkers, man.
Yeah.
And you know, they're talking about things that they care about and what their journey has been, and that's the way to see it. So you can see it in theaters, but you know, we also live in a time where if you can't go to it,
yeah,
it can come to you. So you can pre-order it on iTunes.
Oh, bitchin'.
So video on demand and watch it in your house.
Yeah, give them the name of it again.
It's called Dying Laughing. And
There's a trailer out right now.
Is it on YouTube? It's on YouTube, and you can also find it on iTunes. You know, we've gotten really good reviews. The Hollywood Reporter really liked the film.
That's badass.
Entertainment Weekly. You know, there'll be more reviews and it'll be out there more as it gets closer to the release. But yeah, you can go on YouTube right now, type in Dying Laughing Documentary, watch the trailer, and then, you know, see for yourself.
That's so cool.
You know, what was cool about the film too was we made a conscious decision not to use archival footage.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think archival footage is cool because it's cool to see people's journey and where they come from, and you know, your favorite comics dressed in these weird outfits.
Yeah.
And this grainy
the
footage.
Era.
Yeah, exactly.
The hoodie era.
Yeah, or the bolo era.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah. Bill Hicks wore a bolo.
Yeah,
era.
Right. So,
yeah,
you know,
the bolo
like
era.
You know, like that's a cool thing to see, but we also knew that, you know, stand-ups get on stage and they talk for a living.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a great talk is enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we also did some really cool things where we sent our cinematographer to drive across country. Like when you go on the road and you first start out and you get in your car and you drive from gig to gig.
Get some B-reel footage of that.
Yes, exactly.
So you feel movement.
Yes, exactly.
That's cool.
And that's, you know, that breaks up the, you know, the talking heads.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's real in that way. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what being on the road is, and driving across the, and, you know, driving for miles and you only have yourself. And,
yeah,
you know, so I think people are really gonna dig this movie.
Yeah, that's interesting, that style of comedy, like, you know, in the old days, not even the old days, but even maybe 10, 15 years ago, comics really booked dates and then got in a car and just drove them, you know?
Right, right.
And I did that with Red Band like a year ago. We booked like 4 dates in Middle America. It was like Columbus, Ohio, and Pittsburgh, and I don't know, Dr. Grin's. Where's that at?
I don't even know.
Another place.
That sounds like, it's someplace I've never been.
And then Indianapolis, but we got a rental car. We flew in and then got a rental car and just drove the spots.
Right.
And I thought about, like, man, this is old school, man.
Yeah.
We're just out here. And, you know, if you bomb at one spot, that's a long car ride to the next
Right, and you got to think about it and feel it.
And your buddy's right next to you, and he knows you bombed.
Yeah, so you kind of don't want to talk about it.
No. That was a bomb city back then.
Right. And the good thing is you can drive out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're booked at a club for a week and you bomb.
Oh, you're there again.
You're there, and you got to go right back to it and confront it.
Yeah.
At least if you are booked in one of those like road gigs like that, it's like you can drive and drive fast.
Yeah, to the next hotel.
Yeah.
It's funny, man. It's I'm learning balance too right now. Like I know like I've been pounding it in L.A. and New York a lot, and I was like, "Yeah, that's the ultimate way to do comedy. Just L.A., New York.
Sure,
you know what I mean.
Sure."
But then I realized you need to get out and run hours,
mm-hmm,
because now we're in an age of comedy where It used to be you worked out in the Comedy Store, you worked out in New York, but now it's all heavy hitters. There's tons of agents in there and stuff. So if you're working out, they're like, I saw that guy once. He was terrible.
Right. Well, so yeah, I think in L.A., the margin for failure is so minimal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you've got, you know, everyone's attention for a split second.
Yeah.
And you have to hold it.
Minutes.
Like, it's like, you know, it's really interesting. You know, comedy in L.A. and New York, it's like boxing gyms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you got to come in punching.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you really don't.
You're fighting one round.
Yeah, you're not. You know, you might be sparring.
Yeah.
But you're throwing real punches.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just, you know, you're not walking through it.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, and you know, nowadays, I think the Comedy Store is really kind of the A club in Los Angeles now.
Yep.
And you look at the lineups, and it's all hitters.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even guys hanging out that aren't going up.
Yep.
They're are strong.
Hitters.
They're hitters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's funny because I look at it like, you know, it used to be you worked out at the store to get your set great to go on the road.
Right.
And now you go on the road to get your set
where
great
you can,
for the store.
Yeah, so when you come in the store, you're ready to go.
They go, whoa, that guy's killer.
Yeah,
where's he been working that shit?
Yeah.
It's the opposite now.
Right.
It's hilarious.
Right.
It's almost like you're on the road and you're like, hey, people, you're going to see me practice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I've always felt like the road is the perfect place to take risks. You do want to, I always believe that you do have the expectation to give them a good show.
Of course.
But you also, stage time is so valuable.
Yeah.
And if you get more on the road, you need to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You need to immediately realize, map out the set, kick some ass at the top. Switch into new stuff for a while. If you start to lose them, go back into
Go back to killer mode. Yeah.
And it's just it's a ping pong back and forth. Some new stuff.
Right.
Okay. And sometimes the new stuff will start killing. You're like, all right, now I'll go into the
stuff that works.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Holy shit, now I'm really killing, you know?
Right.
Or I'm eating a dick here. I better bring out the A material.
Right. Right.
So it's an unbelievable game of ping pong, you know, with you and the audience.
Right.
And right now, and more than ever in the last few weeks, I'm like, oh, I got to get out and do these hours, because I realized 2 weeks ago, I've completely even forgot stuff I was doing 5 months ago.
Right.
Because I'm not doing stuff that works 100% perfect at the store, because I'm trying to get some new stuff up going.
Right.
And, you know, if I just go in there and just do the stuff, then it just dies because I'm just doing it over and over and over and over. So it's funny because I just hit a set from a year ago on iTunes and I went, God, this set's great. I'm not even doing any of this material.
Right, right.
I forgot about it. Out of mind.
Right.
You know? So,
You know, also, too, I think working at the A clubs, it forces you to create new material.
I love it.
Because you see what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
You know, you get a real sense of where the bar is. Like, I remember last year when Chris Rock was getting ready to host the Oscars.
Yep.
What was so great about the store was he was working out there, and he was working out for real.
That was
You know
amazing.
What I mean? Like, it was really amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it reminded me of seeing Pryor there and all of the other greats. Because this dude came in punching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, he wasn't coming in to dick
no,
around.
No, not at all.
Work.
But he was working, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was experimenting, and he was really honing that act, you know what I mean? And knew the stakes of what the Oscars were. I mean, it was really inspiring to watch.
It was.
Like, when I watch him, dude, like, he's, you know, I'm such a fan of his. You know, he's to see how seriously he takes his craft.
Yep.
And, you know, I've known Chris for a long time. Like, and when he did the interview for our documentary, it was the same day as the final Letterman.
Wow.
And so he did the interview for our documentary first and then went to Letterman.
Wow.
And so he came in ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he's already in a mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, like I said, man, he's somebody that I really respect because, you know, his work ethic is so strong.
Yeah.
And he doesn't phone it in.
No.
You know, the times that I've seen him even getting ready for, you know, specials or going out on tour where he's workshopping the material in, you know, places where he could take it easy or, you know, just kind of play the, hey, I'm here and you know me and you know the body
punching
of my work.
Stuff. He's not doing that.
No,
ever.
He's not doing
I've
it
never
at all.
Seen that ever.
Yeah, he's challenging the audience. You know, he's not backing off the material. It's really, really a, you know, almost like a masterclass in doing this the right way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm excited. That's, I think, one of the best things about Netflix was three of my favorite comedians, Chappelle, Chris Rock, and Seinfeld, all signed these big deals. And I know that they're a lot to me like bands who have classic records out.
Right.
They're like, okay, we got to go out and make a new special.
Right.
These guys are not going to fuck around.
Right.
Because it's going to be like, you know, I'll show you why we signed this big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That we're worth the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I love about the Netflix deals too is, you know, as much as some of these places try to define what the voice of comedy is,
right,
the cream always rises. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And, you know, as the bar gets set higher with better pieces of content, whatever these other places are trying to do, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can sort of force someone down America's throat as this is the thing and this is the move in comedy, but it doesn't
You're so
hold.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Especially back when the old regimes had this control.
Right.
We promote who we think.
Right. It's, yeah.
You know, here's the young new thing coming up.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no,
yeah,
no, this
that,
ain't it.
That era's over now.
Right, right. Now it really
outlets,
is. Yeah.
Especially with podcasting, with internet, with YouTube or CISO or Netflix or Hulu or all that. You could be like, you know, the guy that you didn't think was young enough or the guy you didn't think was good looking or the guy you didn't understand his comedy. It might have been too edgy.
Right.
Or whatever you were looking for, your safe, perfect home run. The people are reaching out. I mean, you know, look how great it is. Joey Diaz, you know, he puts his first special out. After doing comedy 20, 25 years.
Right.
And no one offered him a special.
Right.
And it's the biggest one on CISO. It just
exploded. Right, right.
And I love when that happens because it's two middle fingers.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's
sure.
Like, yeah, you guys could have had this.
Right.
You could have had it 10 years ago.
But you know what, though? Like, that's no fault of anybody other than what this game is. It's like,
totally,
you know,
totally. There's
like
no,
I said,
there's no bitterness coming out.
No, you know what?
I'm just saying the old days of guys that, like, you know, like signed a Zeppelin or a Doors or whatever, they're not like, oh, the commercial value in this. They're going like, wow, these guys are artists, man.
Right.
I want to have them on my
right.
label as a bragging right of like, we have the coolest bands.
Right.
Or we have the coolest comics. That's what Saturday Night Live was really about back in the day. We got the Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Misfits. We got the Belushi. We got Bill Murray, man.
Right.
These guys are weird as shit.
Right.
And these guys are different and cool, you know?
But they got a definitive move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it isn't what you know, that's the great thing about this business is there's always room for a surprise.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that sneak attack can hit you at any time.
I want to be the next surprise.
Exactly.
I mean? Like,
exactly.
Holy shit, that guy started when he's 44. Everybody wrote him off. Now,
right.
Like, you know what I mean? That's,
right.
That's cool. That's the cool story.
That's what it's all about, dude.
It really is.
That's what it's all about.
Everybody likes a underdog.
Sure.
And if you're coming from, I mean, Rocky's one of the best movies ever made.
Right.
And, you know, whenever I go on stage, I hear Rocky in my head. Like,
yeah.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And I worked my ass off, and now I am here.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the fight.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
I mean, that's all you can. That's all you can ask for is a chance to get in the ring.
It really is.
And let me punch. Let me punch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're doing the, if you're working out, let him get in the ring.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's great, man. It's great. There's you know, comedy is so crazy right now. I guess they, what is it? They, not the History Channel, but
well, CNN is doing a special, the History of Comedy.
Yeah, I talked to the producer at the store on it. One of the producers,
really.
And you know, I bragged about this thing a lot, so people would watch it. But they did those runs like the '70s,
mm-hmm.
and then they did that 8-part series of the '80s,
right?
And that stuff is unbelievable.
Yeah,
have you seen any of it?
No, not yet.
Okay, well. It is some of the coolest shit. So what they do is they'll take a decade.
Right.
And the 70s one is my favorite.
Right.
And they'll have like 8 topics.
Right.
First one is TV in the 70s.
And right.
It's all Norman Lear.
Right.
And it's a whole thing about how TV changed into gritty, dirty, you
right,
know,
right.
Edgy, what's going on in life.
Right.
The next one was politics.
Right.
It's Watergate and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one was music in the
right.
70s. And then the next one was like people. And it covered the whole 70s, serial killers.
Right.
And it gave you a whole feel of what the 70s was. And then
right.
you got the 60s and the 80s. And these series were incredible, man.
Right.
Anyway, so now I talked to him because we were a little leery by the sign at the
sure,
store. It's
sure.
got Farley up there and it
right.
makes it look a little goofy. But he said, man, I really hope you guys like it because if you liked that 70s and everything, we went really in depth on this. You know?
Well, that's great. I'm looking forward to seeing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too. Because and I've talked about this about a year ago, and people watch that 70s and 80s stuff, and it's fantastic, man.
Well, that's like my favorite era of filmmaking.
Life,
you know, I always yeah. feel like whatever's going on in society dictates the voices of comedy.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And the voices of art. And, you know, the 70s produced some of the best movies to me ever because of everything that was going on.
Yeah,
like, I do feel like
stopped after Scarface is really kind of like, you know,
right.
Like blocking, but you're looking right. at like 70, you got all the best movies, Godfather, Raging
exactly.
Bull.
Exactly. Apocalypse
Now,
right.
Chinatown.
Hearts of Darkness.
You got Cuckoo's Nest.
Right.
You have, I said Chinatown, all these French connections. It's
right,
crazy
right, right.
the amount
Dog
of
Day
art
Afternoon.
That was, yeah,
like
yeah.
everything in that era, like even comedically, Take the Money and Run is
yeah.
during that time. Like there's some really
Silver Streak.
Yep. Yep.
All that stuff. And you know, it was really edgy stuff. It's weird how we feel like we've really gone backwards because the 70s was so edgy, man.
Well, you know what's difficult is now. You know, the films are these big, you know, kind of, you know, Marvel films
yeah.
or, you know, animated projects. And so it's harder for independent voices to get anything in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's strange.
You know what I mean? Like,
strange.
And it's really difficult. Like,
it's weird because when you see a movie like Moonlight, there's always a Moonlight style film every year or so that I just fall in love with.
Right.
And you'd think that the studios, you know, they're just all geared around that just slam dunk.
That giant tentpole thing.
Big
yeah.
money. But really, man, these movies are made, and I was just reading about how Netflix is going to start having original movies on. And
well, I think it's great.
It's going to be great because we're going to start getting some stuff like Drugstore Cowboy
right,
again.
Right.
And Trees Lounge. And,
right.
And all these great indie films, My Own Private Idaho.
Right.
And
right.
Dogfight. And
right.
all these great films that I've seen all my life in the indie movie houses that have slowly faded away.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's very hard to find an audience.
Oh, yep.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times have you been watching Netflix and you come across something and you're like, how come the world doesn't know more about this?
It's unbelievable.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's I think what makes Netflix so great.
Yeah.
Like it's
me
a
too.
Chance to just sort of discover, you know, these hidden gems.
Absolutely. I mean, Moonlight is gonna win all kinds of stuff at the Academy Awards. And as I watched that film, I was like, oh, well, this one, you know, give them all the awards.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I always feel like, you know, and even, I haven't seen La La Land, but even, I want to see it this weekend. I need to see Hidden Figures, Fences, and La La Land.
Yeah.
And I want to see those, but I love that La La Land was made because it's a musical.
Yeah.
And that immediately, you would think the studios would go, no.
Yeah, no way.
No, this
yeah,
ain't
no
the
way.
50s.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? Last one that was great was Grease.
Right,
you know,
right, right,
was,
right, right.
Or even the ones later on. Right. They did like, what was that one about the, oh, I forgot that the Weinsteins put out. It was huge, but... You know, it seems like a musical comes every 15 years and it's a
right.
slam dunk.
Right.
You know?
Right. But it's like the American population can only take one every 15
it's
years.
It's true, because they're like, I'll go see that old timey stuff.
Right. 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 I need to feel happy and dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I haven't seen La La Land, and I feel weird about watching it by myself.
Right.
Like,
let's go see it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Because it's playing at Sunset 5, and they got the $6 Tuesdays.
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is, like, I don't even know why that is that I can't see it by myself.
Yeah.
But, if I end up liking it, I don't want to just be happy, that happy by myself.
Yeah,
that feels
yeah.
weird.
You're all skipping out.
Yeah, exactly.
Fred Astaire style.
Exactly.
You're walking on chairs. It's funny because if you think about it, Saturday Night Fever, one of my favorite movies ever, is a musical.
Yeah, but it's gritty, though.
Oh, no, it's gritty as fuck.
Yeah, it's gritty. Yeah, it's gritty.
And
that's why it works.
Grease is gritty, too.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? You got the bad kids and yeah. the drag racing
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah.
But, boy, is Saturday Night Fever a masterpiece.
Yeah,
know?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Moulin Rouge, that was the, that's also.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah.
a huge one. And then Chicago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, once every 15 years,
yeah,
you get
yeah.
one.
Exactly. That's hilarious. I'm looking forward to... Who's hosting the Academy Awards this year? How did they should let Chris Rock do it every year.
He was awesome.
Oh, he just kills
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even know who's hosting this
either.
Year.
I don't either. And I
kind of don't care.
Oh, I'm one of those guys that loves the Academy Awards. It's
really?
So weird. Well, just because I always root for the, like, Moonlight.
Yeah,
like,
sure. You want the underdog to win.
I'm pretty stunned that the mom and Moonlight's not winning everything.
Right.
Like, it's just got to be one of those years where it's got to go to somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
What are they called? The makeup award.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Sean Penn
exactly.
killed it in this one thing.
Right.
In Walking Dead.
Right.
Dead Man Walking.
Right,
I mean,
right.
He kills it in that. They don't get an award for it. And 5 years later, they give him one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a
or
makeup.
Like Denzel's the classic example.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he crushed it for years.
Yeah.
And then he got it for Training Day.
This guy, Denzel, man, who's up for Fences.
Yeah.
Which
he directed.
This guy, yeah, and it was a play.
Yeah.
This guy is like, I still feel 100% underrated.
Oh, for sure.
Dude,
for
man.
Sure.
I mean, everything this guy does.
He's unbelievable.
He just
he's unbelievable.
Kills it.
Denzel is unbelievable.
He is unbelievable. He is
yeah.
like one of the greatest
actors. You know you're the truth.
Yeah.
When rappers rap about you.
Yeah.
When they
yeah.
put you in verses. And Denzel is in many verses.
Oh, man. That guy
Big Sean says, I kill the scene like I'm Denzel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guy, like I'm on a limitless pill.
This guy, I mean, I want to look at, hold on. Let's just go through his films real quick.
Well, first of all, Glory.
Of course.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Malcolm
yeah.
X, which he should have got the Academy
That's
Award for.
That's where he
for.
Got robbed.
That's exactly where he got robbed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Because his evolution of a person in that movie, I mean, and Spike Lee should have won something for that as well.
Spike Lee has been getting robbed since I've been watching this guy.
He's been getting robbed since he was a Knicks fan.
Yeah, 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 exactly. He gets robbed just for
right.
Knicks
he gets robbed
prices.
82 games a yeah, year.
I absolutely think that Spike Lee. First of all, Flight last year, or you know, a couple.
Oh
years ago,
yeah,
dude. That
Come
guy,
on, dude.
That guy murdered it.
Oh,
flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when he was on drugs with the hooker in the beginning,
yeah.
it was so real.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this guy's definitely done drugs because
right.
no one can pull it off that good, man.
Right.
Okay, Flight. All right. Let's see here. American Gangster. He was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
In that.
I mean, come on.
Amazing in that. Inside Man. Awesome. Man on Fire. I mean, Manchurian Candidate. You know, let's see here. Training Day, man. I mean,
well,
come on.
I mean, he did win for that.
I know. I'm just saying that the films he's done is...
I think it's funny that in now they're doing a TV version of Training Day.
Yeah.
But they've decided to mix it up.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, now cock is black.
Yep.
And then the older grizzled veteran...
Paxton, who was Bill on
Paxton,
last week. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he
is
says,
the guy.
He says it's cool, man, because it takes up, like, I think it's like 10 years later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And he's talking about the Denzel character.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be...
Well, I'll tell you this. This was my only criticism of Training Day.
Yeah.
It was just me... Just always wanting the most real version of something.
Right.
I didn't want to see Denzel lose at the end of that movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was such a great, bad, dirty cop.
Oh, he's so good.
That I think in real life, those guys don't get taken down.
Yeah.
They
continue
to exist.
Absolutely.
And they run the show. And I think that's more of a powerful statement of that film if there is no redemption where he gets taken out.
My favorite still.
But that's just me. That's just me.
I still love it, man. He's like, you ever get wet?
Yeah.
That's the best, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's like, I didn't know you like to get wet.
Yeah. And the guy's like, what?
Yeah, right.
Okay, look at this. Philadelphia.
Yep.
Pelican Brief.
Right.
Philadelphia, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he killed it in Philadelphia.
Come on, man. Malcolm X.
Uh-huh.
This is unbelievable. Mo Better Blues.
Oh, Mo Better Blues was
unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yep.
And Wesley was incredible in that.
Yeah. Glory.
Glory, sure.
He killed it on St. Elsewhere.
Oh, of course. Of course.
But anyway, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the body of that dude's work is, he's a national treasure.
Every time.
Can we just call him a national treasure?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's up there with, you know, the great... All the greats, man.
Yep.
It's insane, man. I'm looking forward to seeing the documentary.
Yeah, I think you're gonna like it, man. I think you'll really dig it.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I'm so obsessed with comedy.
Yeah,
you know, like you and I, when we live next door to each other, and it's funny. I like to talk to you because. There's a lot of guys in the biz that don't really want to talk comedy because they've been doing it all their life.
Right.
And I'm this new guy.
Right.
It's like when I talk with Burr loves to talk music with me.
Right.
Because he's playing drums and he's getting deeper and deeper into it. And
right.
We do these gigs together and stuff and to play music, you know, like when we did the birthday bash and stuff.
Right.
And it's so funny because he loves to talk music and I love to talk comedy.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get in stuff on each other.
Right.
Yeah, but what about this? He's like, oh, yeah, you'll get that.
Hey, yeah.
He goes, dude, you were just singing that like that. Oh, you know, and I'm like, yeah. That's like nothing for me. It's so funny. You know?
Yeah.
So it's great to talk comedy with you. And it's going to be great to do this weekend here at the store. Two shows tonight, two tomorrow. And we'll really just...
Hey, dude, it's a workshop. Come down there and get it. It's La Jolla.
Yeah, man. It's so
I mean,
I'm
the days
you,
are...
I'm glad you did it.
Yeah, man. I'm glad that you asked me to do it. You know, like, it's a great chance for me to sort of just get back to the roots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And just focus on being as funny as you can be.
Well, that was my main thing about not to do the big birthday thing was, you know, that takes months of my brain space.
Yeah.
And I really want to look at this year again. I said it before, but last year I really was like going to concerts and living my life. You know, I need to get back into 100% straight comedy like I did the first 3-4 years. And really just, this is, you know, like go to maybe a couple concerts this year. That's
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen all the bands.
Right.
I'm good.
Right.
I need to get funnier, and I need to be on stage nonstop. It's
right.
the only way, because I'm not a classic writer.
Right.
I think you sit down and write the stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, my process is I really do like to think about what I want to say and write it. Like, you know, I mean, I was a monologue writer on The Tonight Show.
Exactly.
So, you know, I like words, and I like how specific words are.
Yeah.
You know, I have opened up my process a little more, where I'm trying to be more about what I feel about something and just be in the moment and give yourself leeway to play. But yeah, I do like writing stuff out.
Right, right. I'm come to the, it's weird because when I do come up with a classic monologue style joke, it's almost by accident. I'm like, wow, that is a killer.
Right. Yeah. Now.
I don't know how I did that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm still in that phase of figuring out how I made it funny.
Right, you know right, I mean? Right.
I'm like,
well, I wouldn't second guess that.
No,
like,
I'm not.
As long as you get there, that's the whole, all that matters.
I'm not second guessing it at all because I'm just saying, and that's all come from organic stage time.
Right.
Being on stage, trying stuff, taking chances and going for it, and then going, holy shit, that worked, and that didn't work at all.
Right.
You know, and.
Well, I think every phase that you're in, you're focusing on something different.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Dom Irera the other day, and Dom and I have been friends for a really long time, and before he did stand-up, he was an English teacher, so, you know, like, words mean a lot to him.
Yeah.
And when he watches me on stage, you know, he goes, sometimes I want you to just, you know, be goofy, because you're, you know, like, you're really funny when you're goofy, and it balances, you know, this the specifics of your word choice.
Right.
And so sometimes I'll think about Dom when I go on stage, and it does make me get a little goofier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, where your comedy comes from, you know, really determines, you know, your act.
Yep.
And as much as I like to think about jokes and write them, I do have to remember you're playing on stage.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And
perform and have fun, and it's okay to be loose and. You know, like, you're always working on something.
Yep, yep, yeah. I mean, I know, like, sometimes last year I went on too angry.
Yeah.
And then I'm digging this hole, like, whoa. I remember one time Dice called me up in the middle of the night, and he's like, why so angry?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he goes, I like it, but I was wondering, why are you so angry?
Right,
you
know? Right.
It was amazing, like. I'm not really angry. I just come up like, all right, let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then someone starts fucking around over here with their phone, and then I just, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Which is true, because I know if I smile a little, the set goes a lot better.
Right.
And I'll probably enjoy it myself more, you know?
Right.
I mean? But I am up there venting and getting shit out and rocking.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. I mean, that's what it is, dude.
Yeah.
All and right. Everybody has a rhythm, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah. So it comes out on the 24th?
Dying Laughing comes out February 24th.
Badass.
In select theaters and on iTunes Video On Demand.
Yep.
iTunes Movies. It's got, you know, all your favorite comics in it. And I think it's a really cool timestamp on what the state of comedy is right now.
Can't wait to see it, man. And come see us tonight, two shows, and tomorrow at the La Jolla Comedy Store. And if you can't make that, I will be with Bill Burr at the San Jose Improv, March 20, 21, and 22, six shows. And then I'm headlining Irvine Improv March 9th. And also Denver one night. It's coming up. Sioux Teatro Theater.
Uh-oh.
The 18th. I'm doing a one-nighter there.
There you
the
go.
Theater,
go get
and
it.
And I want to pack that sucker out.
Pack it out.
Come see me there. Got tickets and all the info on the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And what else? I guess that's about. Oh, I got a big show coming up. I can't tell you about till I think next week.
Is that confidential?
Yeah, you're gonna. I told.
Need to know basis.
It's gonna be great, but let's just say it's out in Columbus. I think out there somewhere, and it's gonna be good in May. I'll tell you about that next week. And what else? Monday. Another episode of Let There Be Talk. Thanks for tuning in today to Bitchin' with Sully and myself, live from La Jolla Comedy Store. Love you guys. Keep the candles lit. Oh, one last thing. I got a great donation. I like to give the shout-outs to the guys that donate to the podcast, and I did get a donate today. You ever be
you got a donut donate?
You ever eat donates?
Them donates is delicious. Yeah.
I want to give the guy a shout out because it's so cool. The guy, I believed he lived in Australia or somewhere. I'm getting crazy listeners. I had a guy come out from Norway and come see me at the Comedy Store, and it was just incredible. I gave him a full tour of the place, and we had fun. He saw a set, and I thank God I had a great set, you know? Let's see here. Mitchell McNaughton.
Mitchell McNaughton.
Yeah, and then, of course, Mark Blazek last week donated. Awesome. And Michael Street. All great. Thank you for your donations. And I do want to give a little shout-out to my boy who, I was going to find it here, from Norway. The guy's like the host of like the America's Got Talent kind of...
In Norway.
Yeah.
So Norway's Got Talent.
Yeah, man. And he sent me a clip and it was really cool. He's the host. It's funny to see him because when he's at the store, he's all leathered up.
Right.
And on there, he looked like a totally different guy. He's playing drums. Great drummer. I hope I can find his thing here. Oh, here it is. Tarjei. I forget how to say his name because he had an accent. Strom. Tarjei Strom. Thank you for coming out, dude. Love you. Thanks, all everybody, for tuning in. And follow Suli on Instagram.
That's right. At Suli McCullough, SuliMcCullough.
And same with Twitter.
Suli McCullough at Twitter.
Yep. send him pictures of your sneakers. He's a sneakerhead.
Yeah, I am a sneakerhead.
Candles lit. All right, let's go to the record store and see what they got.
Yep.
Yeah, boy. All right.